And I have with me today a friend of mine and a fellow 9/11 researcher, Eric Hoofschmidt from California. Well, I'm going to talk today with Eric Hoofschmidt about great American hoaxes. Eric and I have done a lot of research. He's an author of a book on 9/11 called Painful Questions, an analysis of the 9/11 attacks. And we're going to talk about what's gone on with the 9/11 truth movement, particularly in this current year with movies coming out, Hollywood movies coming out, and books being written, and the subject, the 9/11 truth movement, becoming mainstream. Now, 4 years and a half after 9/11, Hollywood feels that it's fit to make movies about 9/11. They've come out with two movies, and one's coming in the fall. There'll be an Oliver Stone movie, and then there's United Flight 93, and there'll be another one coming out about the Pentagon. And besides that, there's also a heavily co-opted truth movement, what they call the 9/11 truth movement, which just had a big event in Chicago, a three-day event. But what's peculiar about this truth movement in Chicago, what they had over the weekend, was that they didn't invite real researchers. I wasn't invited. I'm from Chicago. Eric Cushman wasn't invited, an author of one of the best books on the subject. I think it's the best book. And Ellen Mariani, for example, the outspoken victim, relative of a victim of 9/11 who lives in Colorado, nor was she invited. So what is this 9/11 truth movement about? I want to talk to Eric Cushman today about that. Eric?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Eric. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm glad we got you on.
Yep.
I was just talking about this event in Chicago, the three-day event where people came from all over, from Europe and the United States to attend a three-day conference that was supposed to be about September 11th. Could you say something about that?
Well, yeah, it's, to me, what it is, it's a sign of they're getting desperate. They're trying their best to cover up the whole attack, because if you look at the list of speakers here, I mean, it's basically a weekend event with, it's grown to like dozens of speakers, most of whom, they're not really researchers at all.
Who's getting desperate?
The criminals behind us. See, this is what I think. I was just talking to somebody, in fact, a few moments before I, you know, called on this show. Mm-hmm. Somebody who just discovered 9/11 through Loose Change, the Loose Change video.
Right.
And so what I had to point out to him, I mean, most people don't understand this. You know, I asked him, well, you know, now that you're realizing that 9/11 was a big hoax, a big lie, don't you think that the people doing it are going to try to cover this up somehow or suppress this? And see, this is the issue some people have to realize. After they discover this big crime, what do they think? The criminals just walked away?
We'll get back to that after the break. Today I'm speaking with Eric Hoofschmidt of Santa Barbara, California. He's the author of a book called Painful Questions, an analysis of September 11th attacks. Came out in 2002. It's a large format book with brilliant photos that puts the evidence of the 9/11 crime into the hands of the reader. I consider it to be the best book on the subject, primarily because of the excellent photos that it contains and Eric's analysis. He also produced a DVD called Painful Deceptions, which is a compendium or a supplement to his book. What's interesting, Eric, is that you were not invited to this event in Chicago. Why do you think you were not invited?
Well, ever since 2002, ever since I've been getting involved in this, I've been sort of shoved aside. It's like with you too. And
why is it? What is it about your analysis that people would find fault with?
There's nothing really wrong with it. The analysis. It's what it seems to be, though, is they only promote. See, this is what the issue I brought up with this other person. You have to consider that when a crime this big has occurred, the 9/11 crime, the people who did it, they don't just do the crime and then go back inside their house and just sit there watching TV while the rest of us expose it. They're doing the cleanup work, which is suppressing all the people and all the government officials and all the military people that start realizing, you know, something's wrong here.
And then, of course, after an event like this, they have to interpret the history. They have to interpret the history and provide this history to the American people so the American people understand what really happened according to the official version. I mean, they have to spin it.
Yeah, you can't just do a crime like this and walk away. You've got a lot of cleanup work to do. In fact, that could be, for all we know, the bulk of where their money and time is going into. It's monitoring the people, trying to suppress them every time they pop up. And what they're doing to people like me and you and some of the others is pretending we don't exist.
What was interesting about this event in Chicago, though, is that the event was a three-day event in Chicago, a city I know pretty well. I had a 9/11 event there last year where William Rodriguez came and spoke, and nobody from the media came. But this event appears to have been covered by the New York Times and was on the front page of AOL the other day. Isn't that true?
Yeah, when I signed on to AOL, there it is. It was the main news item, and AOL took the New York Times article and then put it on their own site, because normally to get to the New York Times articles, you have to register first. It's all free, but it's a pain in the neck. You know, a lot of people don't do it. So they made it even easier for people. They put it on their own site. Every AOL user, as soon as they signed on, could then just click it and get to this article about all these conspiracy people in Chicago.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying, is that in the beginning of the show, I said that, 9/11 researchers like yourself and myself and other people that have been looking into this, we have been able to get any attention from the mainstream media for 4 years. And now suddenly, in this political year, midterm elections coming up in the fall, suddenly 9/11 is a big subject that they're talking about. It's like they decided to let the cat out of the bag, but only somewhat.
Well, I think what's happening is they are having trouble suppressing it. It's getting out there, and so they're doing their plan B or plan C, which is it's coming out, so let's put our people in control. And then they, by being in control, get to decide who gets replaced, who replaces who, whether Bush gets replaced and with who, what the punishments will be, what the solution will be. It's like when Nixon, says to Ford, here, you become the president, and Ford says, okay, now you're pardoned.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do here. It's a desperate situation in their part right now.
But it's interesting that when I looked at the people who were going to speak at the Chicago event over the 3 days, it was a lot of people, only one of whom I know has done serious research. That's Professor Jones of BYU. The rest seem to be kind of hanger-ons, people who... People who, write about or talk about the murder of Martin Luther King or some peripheral subject. And this was like a circus under a very big tent, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how I would describe it. And some of the people you have to look at, like there's the first one on the list, Kevin Barrett, there's all alphabetical. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's a guy, he's calling himself an imam of the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance. If you look at these people's names, look at them. What are they? Every single one of them, practically, it seems like. There may be a few exceptions, but these people are there to control. He's part of this Muslim-Jewish-Christian alliance. He's,
right.
I mean, see, these people, what they're trying to do is get in control of the message.
Control the message, right.
And then these people are trying to become the heroes. They're pushing their stuff on other people. And what people need to do is read that article carefully at the New York Times article, mm-hmm. the way it was written. They can still see it. If you go to the IamTheWitness.com, it's on that site under the underreported news items. You can see it. The New York Times reports on the Chicago 11 event. And there's a very interesting thing in there. I don't know if you mentioned this one yet, but Michael Berger is being quoted as saying, they are going to create a fund to support candidates on a 9/11 platform.
Yeah.
And then he says, there is a plan to create a network of college campus groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is a plan, he says, by the British delegation to get members of parliament to watch Loose Change, the seminal movement DVD. Now, people have to think about this. Here is one guy, Michael Berger, talking about a plan to have a network of college campus groups and support political candidates. How is one person doing this? How could one person? This is not one person.
Well, Eric, this 9/11 is a seminal event of the wars we're having. Can you tell me, do you know who were the people who were behind this big Chicago event?
Well, it's it's hard to say that all the people behind it. You can see there's Michael Berger, the 9/11 Truth Group.
Professor Fetzer from Minnesota involved in it, Jim Fetzer?
Well, he was a speaker. The people, it's hard to figure out who's just speaking and who is helping. Gabriel Day apparently was one of the organizers. The 9/11 Truth Group people are deeply involved.
Mm-hmm.
And see, both of them, 9/11 Truth is like over and over sabotaging other people's events. And
tell me, how do you think this kind of group is changing the message of what the evidence shows?
What they're all doing, what every one of these people have in common at this group and 9/11 Truth, mm-hmm. what every one of them are is Zionist deniers. Every one, without exception.
What is a Zionist denier?
Well, it's something. It's actually, it's not illegal yet in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still allowed to do Zionism denial, but what it is, it's a person who absolutely refuses to face the evidence,
mm-hmm.
the overwhelming evidence that there is, since at least 1897, there has been a movement to develop Israel. Now,
right.
There's nothing wrong with
a nation. Do you think that 9/11 was involved, that there, in some way Israel was involved in 9/11?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can see it all over the things like the World Trade Center collapse, the landlords, the people involved, the mysterious Israelis that got picked up. That could have been the labor force involved in the demolition. And this is why no one can find who put those explosives in. They may not be in this country any longer.
You know, this reminds me of when the first Gulf War happened. I started a group at the University of California, Santa Cruz, about the war. And I found myself being pushed off to the side because I spoke about the Israeli involvement in the Middle Eastern wars in Iraq. And that was considered politically incorrect. And they created another group, which was headed by a couple young students from Hillel, and they became the peace movement. It sounds like a similar thing's going on in the World Trade Center movement.
Well, yes, the World Trade Center movement, the 9/11 movement, the anti-war movement is the same way, the veterans groups.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of these groups are Zionist deniers. And this can't be a coincidence because...
They're denying the evidence that Israel was either involved or had prior knowledge of the attacks.
Not just 9/11. They're doing it all throughout the 20th century. And you see, Zionism, a lot of people might support it because it sounds good. You know, they want to create a homeland. Now, that sounds nice, but what they don't tell you is they're doing it at the expense of everybody else, you know, using us as basically animals to fund it, to do the killings. And then if you read things like their protocols of Zion and stuff, when they're all done, we're all going to be gotten rid of anyway.
So you mean that, like, 9/11 is a hoax similar to, for example, the Holocaust hoax, that 6 million Jews were killed in ovens in World War II by the Nazis? And
yeah, that's a...
And even the landing on the moon, if I read you correctly.
Well, yeah, if you look at the Holocaust, it's a shock the first time I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody, the first time you hear the idea that thing is a hoax, you think, the guy just lost his mind.
Right.
All you have to do is look through the photos. Look at the actual photos. The American military, when they went into those camps, had cameras with them. The military has always got cameras. They're always documenting everything. All you got to do is look at the photos. They're on the U.S. government site, the archive sites.
Right.
And you cannot find a gas chamber except for the ones that have a skull and crossbones on the front, and they have in German it says, you know, the gas times. Because what it is they were gas chambers for...
Delousing.
Delousing bedding and clothing.
So basically, you know, you're of the opinion that the gas chambers myth, which I know from the trial of Ernst Zundel in Canada, there is no documentation... Raoul Hilberg, for example, was unable to produce one document to back his allegation that 6 million Jews had been gassed.
That's right. This is why they don't want you looking into it. This explains. This should be for everybody. The laws against looking into the Holocaust, that should right there tell you something's wrong.
Right.
Why would you not want people in Europe, especially Europe, why would they not want to be... Why would they try to stop people from looking? The reason is, as soon as you look at the photos, you realize there's something wrong here.
Oh, yeah, well, I know that. I have a friend who just died who was a soldier in Dresden. He was a German officer, and he saw how the photographs from Dresden, which was a real Holocaust in which 500,000 people died, how those photos were later used by Zionists and claimed to be the bodies of Jews.
That's the other problem. They
we'll
can
talk,
take
let's
any...
Let's take a break, and we'll talk about that after the break. Eric, I wanted to ask one thing. You know, you and I have done a lot of research. I've been doing research on 9/11 since the day I was in New York when everything went wild. But I want to ask for a lot of the viewers and people who, the public in general, who is not perhaps as well versed in all of the details and minutia of 9/11. How can they discern from reading who's telling the truth and who's not?
Well, that
how
is
can they tell? How can they tell a good researcher from a faker?
Well, that is a difficult thing, especially if they're in the beginning. The only way to really do it is to look at all of it.
Yeah.
And you'll start, you should start seeing a pattern in it that, it's when you compare one site to another. So, for example, take a look at, you know, my site, Huge Questions, or IamTheWitness.com. Look at IamTheWitness.com, the variety of stuff you're going to get there, and then you go to one of their sites.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to find is they either come up with really stupid arguments, like the Vatican is behind everything,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something even stupider than that, like George Bush is the master of the world.
So you don't think the Pope did it?
No.
And
it's not because I have some Catholic relatives. That's not because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all people have to do is look at this. Who has the organization? And they have to go back. Look, again, it's very important for people to do a little bit of research. Don't be afraid of this. Look at that Theodore Herzl. The quote
right.
is right at the top of IamTheWitness.com. Look
right.
at it. It says in there, the anti-Semites shall be our best friend. They are
right.
trying to get Israel started. And how did
well,
they do it?
As you know, Eric, my evidence, what I've discovered over the past 4 years is I found an Israeli intelligence thread runs through 9/11 like a red thread throughout the fabric. It's evident in all of the key positions. Eric, we have one caller. Let's see what this caller has to say. One question. We have a question from Matt in Vermont. Matt, are you there?
Hello, I'm just curious. I've been to IamTheWitness.com, and some of the links there take you to Judicial Inc., and I'm just curious if you know who's putting that out, because there are no, sources.
Let's turn that question to Eric. Eric, do you know who's behind Judicial Inc.?
No. This is one of the things. A lot of the information on the Internet is coming from anonymous sources. We cannot verify somebody else's site. I can't.
But why do you post it then?
Because it's just plain interesting. Some of the
I
stuff
see.
Is... You see, there are things on there. It does verify... We can verify some of that ourselves. If you do the research, it always seems to turn out
mm-hmm.
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their assumptions may just be incorrect, but... You know, all you have to do is look at the sites.
Eric, I think one of the most intriguing... Well, thanks for that call, Matt. Eric, I think one of the most intriguing things on your site is your discussion of the moon landing. And you posit the theory that the moon landings, the Apollo landings of 69 and 70, were also hoaxes that were perpetrated on the American people.
Well, yeah, actually, I got... Well, the first time I heard that, I thought the guy was crazy. Ralph Rene, you know...
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. He was the one who told me. I'm thinking, oh, this guy lost his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all you have to do is just have the courage to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, it sounds crazy. I thought it was crazy, too. You just look at it, and then all of a sudden, all of those weird thoughts you had start making
sense. What kind of evidence is – what's the best evidence – what's the best arguments you can make to the viewers and to listeners that the moon landings were not real?
Well, to me, the most obvious. It's going to be different for different people depending
right.
on your scientific and background and all. To me, the most obvious is that they sent out 12, there were 12 guys that landed on the moon in six different locations. Three of them stayed, there were six of them just circling the moon. They didn't land. Not a single one of them on the trip to or from the moon or on the moon ever saw a single star. They never talked about the stars, the Milky
mm-hmm.
Way galaxy, Venus, and then you look at NASA's site, and they're trying to tell you can't see stars from the surface of the moon because the moon is too bright.
Right.
And then you look at the moon is not bright. This is what I gave up. You know, I put a little science challenge out there. I gave up. People can't figure this out. The moon is not bright.
It's not even as reflective as the planet Earth, I think.
No, it isn't. And NASA says it. Any astronomer can figure this out. All you do is measure the light coming from it.
Right.
So
what would
right.
the thing is that if the astronauts were truly on the surface of the moon, they would see very, very bright stars overhead.
Right, because if you look at the U-2 pilot, there's a U-2 pilot, he was still in the atmosphere. He just went way up high, and he's like, my God, look at the stars up here.
Wasn't this revealed during a press conference when they returned and they were asked if they'd, if they'd recalled seeing the stars?
Yeah, and see, they were fumbling around. I don't remember seeing any stars. And then Michael Collins, who was in the, supposedly, circling the moon, he wasn't even on the surface. He jumps in, I don't think we saw any stars, something like that.
How do most Americans feel about this questioning of the landing on the moon? Are they interested in it?
It really hurts some people. The younger ones don't seem to mind as much. The older ones, it was their source of pride and joy. And they were boasting about it. My dad's generation, they were boasting. Oh, we went to the moon. We're the American people, the greatest people in the world.
Your father worked on it. Your stepfather worked on it.
Oh, no, it was my brother's wife's father. What would you call him?
I know in California.
Father-in-law? Something like that. But anyway, he worked on it, and so he is my brother's wife. She is very sensitive to this.
Sure.
And see, her attitude is, well, he worked on it, therefore it must be true.
But you think it's a hoax?
Oh, completely. And then you look at who's in it.
Let's take a break, and we'll talk about that when we come back. I'm speaking with Eric Hufschmid on a show, what I would call the Great American Hoax, or hoaxes. We're talking about 9/11. We started out with 9/11. Now we're talking about the moon landing, or the fake moon landing, depending on your point of view. And we've also talked about the 6 million Jews who perished in the Holocaust. As Eric knows, the Jewish claim, or the Zionist claim of 6 million being lost in this war or that war, goes back to the early part of this century. I know in the First World War, it was also the propaganda of the Zionist outlets that 6 million Jews had died in the First World War. Then in the post-war period, they continued with this, about the 6 million Jews being in danger. And then in World War II, they just continued with it. It seems to be a number that they're fond of. But Eric, I wanted to ask you, who's behind, or how are such hoaxes covered up? I mean, I was 12 years old when the moon landing happened in 1969, and I remember going to my neighbor's house who had a television set and watching it, and thinking that it was real, because we lived in a time of great scientific achievements, unlike today, and, great advances in science were not to be questioned.
Well, that's right, but it seems to be, see, part of the reason back then people believed it, there wasn't as much distrust of government, for one thing.
Precisely.
But, you have to also look at these people. It's the media. It's the media, the Hollywood people. See, this is the other thing. Remember you asked me, what do they all have in common at Chicago? And I said, they're Zionist deniers. There's actually, we could say one other thing. They are all trying to get people not to look at the media and Hollywood, because that is what they have control over. And by controlling...
You mean not to question media involvement in these things.
Right. See, that's what they don't like about my particular video, is that I'm criticizing the media. I've had many people complain about that.
Well, that's fair. That's fair, Eric. I mean, on September 11th, when those towers were attacked, every single journalist there talked about explosions on September 11th. On September 12th, that was shoved under the carpet. I mean, I've always found that to be the media has completely failed to discuss even the evidence of 9/11. I mean, most Americans don't even know that World Trade Center 7, Silverstein's 47-story building, fell down at 5:20. Now that's got to be a failing of the media.
But yeah, it's not really a failing, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. See, this is what people have to realize. Somebody is suppressing this, and it's not the Vatican. You have to look at who controls the media.
Well, that's the point, yeah. I mean, the media is controlled. We know the media in the United States is very much controlled by some very small groups and corporations, and they are very fond of Israel. They're Zionists. They never question Israel's right to have nuclear weapons, but they're leading the charge against Iran, which is just trying to develop nuclear power.
Well, yeah, and even if they wanted nuclear weapons, what's the big deal? I mean,
right?
They have no right. Israel has no right to say this nation or that nation can't develop it. I mean, why? Who can say that? And then to say we can bomb them, but you'll see the same thing. This is what's going on with Apollo. Look at Apollo. It's Hollywood that does this. Look at people like David Wolper. And it's very important to look. There's a page.
Now, who's David Wolper?
He's a big television producer.
Right.
And he got started in television. He was like the Jerry Springer, an early Jerry Springer.
And isn't he the fellow who said that he was given some Soviet footage of the Soviet rocket program?
Yeah, he's the one who said, I think, something basically like, oh, I'm just walking down the street and here's this Russian guy with some Soviet footage that no one had ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they make it sound like they're just running into this amazing stuff on their own. But you see, what it is, it's possibly a connection to the Russian crime network, the Zionist Russian crime network.
Right.
And I was under the impression that the Russian mafia was Russian people until I saw that article that the Barnes Review put out. The Russian mafia is Zionists. And
right.
So this, his connection, Wolper's connection, and all these other people, Jenna Orkin's connection, they may have connections with this Russian Zionist mafia.
With Lou Walters, with Barbara Walters' father, right.
Right. All of these people. And there's a very important quote, I have it on my website, that comes out of Wolper's autobiography, that people need to look at these things. He talks about what he learned in his life. And
well, you know,
it's a very important sentence. He says, I discovered that if I began by telling the truth about the worst thing I was selling, the buyer would trust me about everything else. And this is an important,
right.
This is important. What it is a con artist starts off by being your friend and telling you things that are truthful, and he makes you
right.
feel good. After you trust them, that's when they cheat you, and people don't get it. This is what they're doing
right.
in 9/11.
Precisely. They're sucking you in with good evidence and good logic, and then at the end they spin it their way.
Right, and then people then trust them because they've gotten all these compliments from them. You know, me and you, we don't pour these compliments out. We're like normal people. Normal people don't act that way. You know, normal people have opinions and we disagree with each other. But
I want to ask you something about the moon. I was just talking to a professor or a scientist from the Manhattan Project. His name is Marion Falk. He lives in Livermore. He spent years at Livermore Lab. And what's interesting is that before the Apollo program tried to go to the moon, NASA and the Air Force consulted him to ask him about the radioactivity on the moon. And you know what he told them? He said there's a ton of it. He said that's the reason why the surface of the moon is pulverized, because the bombardment of radioactive particles caused disintegration of the things that are on the moon. Now, isn't it true that the NASA is now just thinking of sending a launch to the moon to determine the radioactivity of a place they've already been six times?
Right. See, there's so many clues that they never went to the moon in the first place. On their trip to go back, they're saying we want to go back in 2020 or whatever it is, or 2120, whatever it is, they want to go back, and one of the first things they want to do is send a probe up to measure radiation, and their justification is, well, they just didn't measure it thoroughly.
What about all those rocks and specimens that they supposedly brought back, something like 800 kilos or 800 pounds of
moon
rock?
Yeah, 800 kilos. The problem is, The rocks are mostly secretive still.
Right.
They're still secretive. And every once in a while, there was just a report the other day. I have this on my website, too.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is down there in the Antarctic. She finds a rock, and she had, you know, they're analyzing the rocks that they picked up at the Antarctic. And one of them seemed to be identical to the moon rocks brought back by Apollo. And she
son of a gun. Mm-hmm.
And she, yeah. And so she announces, we found a rock from the moon down in Antarctica. And she says, oh, it must have been thrown off the moon by a meteor and landed in Antarctica.
Sounds
come
plausible.
On.
Sounds plausible. Mm-hmm.
What this is a sign of is there is a photo out there on the Internet of Wernher von Braun standing in this snowy area. They say he went to the Antarctica just before the moon mission.
Right.
And here's a photo of him in the Antarctica. What he probably did is they sent him down to find some rocks that don't look like anything from the Earth.
Right.
He picks up some rocks from the Antarctica, and then these become the moon rocks. And now when people go to Antarctica, some of those rocks that they come back with are going to match those Apollo moon rocks. And then those dumb scientists say, whoa, we've just found another piece of the moon down in Antarctica.
Now, it's interesting, Eric. Like you said, there's something like 18 or 12 Americans have walked on the surface of the moon, yet we never hear anything from them. They never give interviews or anything. I don't recall seeing one of the astronauts speaking on television since the day they went to the moon. What happened to these men? Where have they gone?
Well, their press conference is extremely awkward and almost painful to watch when they first got back from the moon on that Apollo 11 group.
Right.
And they won't talk to anybody. Neil Armstrong will not talk to anybody. There's a book out there that says when he went to become a professor in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
they called all the reporters in and told them you cannot call him up for interviews.
Isn't that bizarre?
And not only that, but then he will talk to one person, David Wolper,
the Hollywood producer.
And he even went to play golf at his private golf course.
Oh yeah.
So these astronauts. Here's another thing, that the people who joined this crime really should think about this. What kind of a life has Neil Armstrong had since 1969 and all those other astronauts?
Why? I know I'm familiar with a lot of the videos and the clips that were taken that show that the United States was actually, NASA was actually involved in producing footage to resemble the moon in the event that the moon landing did not succeed. Then they would have this footage to show. I think that was President Nixon and Henry Kissinger were behind that.
This is another thing that doesn't make any sense. This is like, imagine if General Motors said, well, we're going to design a great train system for America. It's going to go 400 miles an hour. It's going to beat everything Germany and China has. And then they say, well, in case we can't develop it, we're going to create some video footage that makes it look like we have it. Wouldn't you be thinking, wait a minute, you're going to create video footage to fake it in case it doesn't really work?
Now,
it doesn't really work. What do we need footage for?
Now, the thing is, though, is that for example, the space race at the time was between the United States and the Soviet Union. If the United States, if NASA did not land on the moon, if the moon landings are not real, then certainly Russia would know that, wouldn't they? The Russians would certainly know that. Why would they not bring this out?
Well, this is a common question. Why wouldn't another country expose our crimes? Well, you got a variety of possible reasons. One is that they're committing crimes too, and it's like who wants to be the first to tell on somebody else's crime? You know,
honor among thieves or no honor among.
Well, it's not so much. It's more like fear. Would a burglar
right.
want to turn a car thief in? You know, they, what if the car thief said, "Yeah, and you're burglarizing houses"? And so you have a lot of things going on here. You have every nation's government seems to be corrupt. Plus, you have David Wolper's and apparently this Russian Zionist connection. They may be involved in both nations' governments.
Well, I mean, certainly the people that are behind the hoax become empowered, and they have some degree of power over the government, because if the government doesn't do what they want, or individuals, they will expose things.
Right, and see, the Apollo thing, after they fooled the Americans to do this, they can then hold it over their head and say, oh, yeah, you do what we say or we're letting this out.
Right.
So then they can blackmail them.
Right.
And then they can do the same with Russia. Russia apparently lied, too, in some of their things. They didn't lie as badly as Apollo, but they lied, too. So that's more blackmail for them.
But now NASA is preparing another moon launch, and they've got new funding. What are they trying to do now? What is NASA trying to do in the coming years?
Well, they're claiming that they want to go back to the moon, but see, now they're giving themselves much more time. They're going to start measuring radiation. They use the Hubble telescope to look at the moon's surface to figure out if there's even oxygen, you know, rocks bearing oxygen on the moon.
Well, tell me. I know that when on September 11th, that one of the planes that landed in Cleveland, they say Flight 93 landed in Cleveland. That's what the Associated Press reported. That the passengers were taken off the plane into the NASA facility, where they were interviewed by FBI agents. I've written about that. Is NASA involved in crimes that we don't even know about?
Well, this is what I'm beginning to think, because there's something about that Cincinnati, or is it Cleveland. NASA,
mm-hmm.
the NASA Glenn facility. We really have to be wondering about that one. Why would that be any way, shape, or in any way involved in 9/11? Why would that facility want to talk to the people from Flight 93.
Right,
passengers. Right. And you see, there's one thing that always has been, it has really confused me, is ever since I put that information about Apollo on my site, I've been getting so many people saying, stop it, get that off, and I'm thinking, what does it matter?
Oh, they find that as offensive as the Holocaust stuff.
Yes, and I can't figure it out. What does it matter? And the only thing I can think of is, this is the tip of an iceberg, and I don't know what's under it. but there's something there. If we open this can of worms up, we may find NASA is nothing but a big hoax.
Well, Eric, if what you say is true, and I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of these arguments about the Holocaust, the NASA or the fake or unfake landing of the moon at the moon, and the 9/11. Now, if these are all hoaxes, as you suggest, then the American people are among the most duped people on the planet.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Exactly. It's just shocking. And then you look at the USS Liberty. That was right in front of your face.
The attack
the
on the USS Liberty when the Israelis attacked the ship in 67, right?
Yes, and then not even the military cares. And we have so many people willing to cover it up.
Well, they care, but they were shut up. If you remember those, every sailor that got off that ship was put in a separate hospital room in Malta, I think it was, and there was an armed guard at the door. I mean, they were treated like hostages.
Prisoners, right.
Prisoners.
Right, yeah, but I mean, look at the rest of the military, and then look at how many Americans will cover it up. Like,
Eric, I mean, that would mean that this criminal element that's in charge of Hollywood and Las Vegas, this Jewish mafia, which Americans don't like to talk about, but this very real Jewish mafia that, you know, came out of vaudeville and developed Hollywood and Los Angeles and the film industry and the gambling industry, that they have power that Americans are completely unaware of, and that the media is complicit in covering them up and protecting them.
Well, yeah, they are the media. They are the media. They are Hollywood.
They are the media. That explains it.
This is a real serious fight here. People try to dismiss this stuff. This is a war. They are destroying this country. They're destroying Europe. They have already got the Europeans. I mean, you talk about Americans being stupid. Look at the world wars. They got those British and Germans that go attacking each other for what?
Right.
And slaughtering one another. And then look at the Dresden slaughter.
Well, how can the Americans and the Europeans free themselves of this corrupt media that's got a foreign agenda? How can we free ourselves?
The most bizarre thing of all is that this could be done so fast. We know the people. It's the media. It's Hollywood. The banking system. The people that are trying to cover up 9/11. These people are all.
But what do you do? What do you do if you discuss this in an open way like this? People will simply say that you're an anti-Semite.
Well, that's right. That's the that's what they're hiding behind. That's why we have to expose this stuff. Show them that show them things like, tell them, look at Apollo, look at a Holocaust. Don't be so afraid. Look at it. This
but
is
Eric,
a war.
How can we do that when the president appoints people like Michael Chertoff in the key positions of running the law enforcement in the United States?
Well,
or Amit Yoran, another Israeli, is in charge of all of the cybersecurity. I mean,
we've got a serious problem. If we could just get a few tens of thousands of citizens who just care, if we could especially get our own military to care.
Right.
I mean, our FBI is basically corrupt. The local
Seemingly so. I mean, they seem to be the key element involved in the hoax of 9/11, if you will, and absolutely in the bungled investigation.
And they always seem to be there when that Wellstone plane went down.
Right.
They're there to cover it up. They're there to take videos from 9/11 at the Pentagon.
Well, let's talk about that in the last segment coming up. We have a little break now. I wanted to ask you, though, this concept that the 9/11 movement, for example, or like the peace movement in the previous war, is taken astray by infiltrators. What do you think of that? I think I read a rant on your website where you say that Jewish people who are involved in the 9/11 movement should basically back off because Israel is suspected of being complicit in the attacks of 9/11.
Oh yeah, David, Daryl Bradford Smith brought that one up. He's basically what he's saying is, you know, you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, because this is a war. This is a serious fight. These
Indeed.
People have slaughtered a lot of people, and you have to think about it. How do we solve this case? You know, there is so much evidence that Zionists are involved. How do we know which Jews are in the group and which are innocent?
Indeed. I know because, you know, I speak a great deal about the Israeli involvement in 9/11, starting from the five dancing Israeli Mossad agents who videotaped and celebrated the attack on the World Trade Center in Jersey City, all the way to the people who run the security software companies that are Mossad fronts, whose software is loaded on all the critical computers in the United States. But Eric, who do you think who would you recommend as being honest investigators?
Well, there are, I think 99%+ of us people that are in this movement are liars.
Okay.
There's only a couple of us. And it's, the problem is, we're the ones that are pushed aside, so it's hard to even know. There may be others like us we still haven't even discovered yet.
You know, one of the best things about your book, Painful Questions, which I remember I read it when it came out in 2002 before you even finished it, was that you don't hit anybody over the head, who did this, but you simply bring up the questions of what the evidence shows and ask the questions, and you basically prod the reader to look at the evidence and decide for themselves.
It's also, see, if we were to have a real investigation, it would be obvious as to who did it.
Right.
See, this is the problem that the criminals themselves face, the Zionists. If we had a real investigation, it's obvious who did it. Look at the people, the landlords, the art students,